Yeah, what up, what's going on? It's Frequency, producer extraordinaire. You're checking out the mixtape with my man Six Sense and Nick Boogie. Go for it.
Yeah. It's your boy Six Sense, let's go.
Yeah, you know what it is. From the moment you come over the bridge, and I'ma show you some shit. 8 million roaming the strip, and I hope you ain't alone in the crib. Yeah, you better believe that. It's where you can seize for the cheddar and cheese at. Put your feet up if you put in your seat
back, even veterans see that.
I hear y'all.
Brooklyn, I'm downtown to the west side. Ain't no other place in the world you heard. Let's ride.
All right, everybody. New York HR.
Oh, yeah, we riding the train.
I have no idea what was going on with the audio just now. Love it, Blog Talk Radio. The intro. Fascinating. Anyway, this is your host, Anthony Onesto, and this is New York HR. I have someone I'm chatting with today that has been on the former New York HR show and agreed to join me on our new calling bullshit version of the New York HR show. We got Janine Truitt today. Hey, Janine, what's going on? Yeah.
Nothing much. Happy to be back. I love this show.
I love it. Yeah, we as I told you, we're changing the format a little bit. Originally, we were all about New York HR, and now we're kind of thinking of it more as New York HR, which is like no bullshit. Let's call BS on practices that we don't agree with, and try to provide a contrarian viewpoint as how to solve some of those things. So today's topic is one that I mention on every show, this idea of performance evaluations and reviews. But before we get into that, Janine, I'd love to for the audience to understand who you are, what you do, where you come from. So give us a little insight there.
Sure. So again, Janine Truitt, I am the Chief Innovations and owner of Talent Think Innovations LLC, which is a business strategy firm where I focus on digital transformation projects, tech advisory, and HR strategy, just to name a few things. It's continuing to grow. I have a background, 14 years of working in the HR and talent equity spaces. That's taken me through pharmaceuticals, healthcare staffing, R&D, a lot of technical fields, and namely working in the very situation that we're going to be talking about today, which is performance evaluations and talent management and how we kind of keep our people with us as long as we can and happy. So it's a little bit about my background.
I love it. And this is, you know, so this topic is near and dear to my heart. Many years ago, so this idea of performance evaluation and reviews, and I remember years ago a study, and I think it was the Corporate Executive Board, and we're talking probably 10 to 15 years ago, where they did a study of performance reviews, or at least this annual review that people were doing or companies were doing with their employees. And what was happening is they were actually they were producing these reviews were producing lower productivity. So you would have this review, and the employee would be so pissed off or disengaged or, you know, whatever it is, and it would actually lower productivity. And it's funny, I talk about, imagine going into your CEO's office today and say, I have this really awesome HR program I want to roll out. It's going to cost you a ton of money in your employee's time, in your manager's time. No one's going to want to do it, and it's actually going to lower productivity. I mean, how many CEOs would sign up for that program? But yet, we've been doing it for decades. We've been doing this thing. Mm-hmm. So why is it, like, I know why I want to call bullshit on performance evaluations and reviews, but talk to me about your point of view here, Janine.
Yeah, I don't think it's done a lot of good, to be honest. And I mean, that's coming from somebody who worked in HR, even for me and for most of my colleagues that I've worked with through the years, none of us enjoyed this process. So the idea that anybody else in the organization would enjoy it when we are basically the gatekeepers of this whole process is kind of ridiculous. It's this notion that you can somehow take a snapshot at the end of the year of an individual's performance for an entire year and summarize it to some degree, and then decide, you know, how you're going to pay them for the next year, and, you know, just how high they're going to rank and file up against their peers. It just was never set up for success. And to the example that you gave, I think that is why you've seen things like it do the complete opposite of its intention, which is to give people, I guess, some love, recognition, to make them understand what their individual contributions are to the company as well as the teams, and for them to have a baseline to understand what they're doing. But I feel like it's only ever frustrated not only the people who have to actually administer it, but the people who are actually doing the work. I don't think people walk out of that process feeling energized, like, wow, that was a really great review, and I really learned some things about myself, and I really know what I can improve upon, and I also know how I contribute to the company's bottom line. I just haven't had too many of those conversations.
And I love your point here, because, to be honest with you, I mean, of course I would think about this from an HR perspective. Of course I would. I'm in HR. But I never really thought to make that a point, that the people actually doing these things weren't really engaged in it, didn't find value in it. But so I ask this question all the time, especially as in, on the show here, we're trying to say, all right, we're going to call bullshit on some of the commonly held practices in HR and recruiting. And we're, of course, going to provide a viewpoint on what we should be doing moving into the future. But again, HR people are smart people. Why, in your opinion, why have we even did, like, if HR never felt like this was an ideal scenario, we know the employees didn't. We can unpack that in a minute. But mm-hmm. why do you think we kept doing this? Like, why every year we're doing these things that we don't think provide any value, and we don't like even doing ourselves? But yet, here we are. I think there are probably, I would say, 50% of the companies out there are still doing these things. Why mm-hmm. do you think that's the case?
We're just not, I mean, truthfully, as an industry, we're just not good at thinking outside the box, to be quite frank. You know, we tend to just show up and do what we think, you know, the powers that be want us to do. Very few leaders I find in HR are so innovative or so creative in their approach that they're willing to take a traditional practice that may be rooted in something personnel circa 1980 to task and say, hey, there's a better way of doing it. I think it was just a means to an end for a lot of people to be able to provide some sort of feedback to employees. And so, you know, they continue on and keep on keeping on, but there just isn't a whole lot of creative thought, I think, within HR departments on the ground about how we better recognize the people that come to work for us every day and how we continue to motivate them. And then to a large extent, there's still a lot of elusiveness as to what the Shangri-La is in terms of really engaging people. And so it's one of those things like, we'll just keep talking about it year to year, but really, you know, we don't have any solutions. We really don't understand these people that come to work for us. So we'll just throw a bunch of things at the wall. We'll do these performance evaluations. We'll do town halls around some themes if we're smart enough to collect some data, and we'll work it from there.
So I love, you know, the idea of solutions and that there hasn't been, or, you know, we can identify the problem and figure out solutions. So we'll get to that in the second half of the show. I'd love your thoughts on what you think needs to be happening to replace these things. But at least for now, why do you think, you know, so all the studies that are out there show that people do want feedback, right? Employees do want feedback. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, if you subscribe to Radical Candor, Kim Scott's book, they want it more yeah. frequently. Why do you think employees, what was wrong with the process as it exists today? I know you kind of dove into mm-hmm. it a little bit about employees not liking it. Why do you think it's not good for an employee experience for people to be doing these yearly performance evaluations and reviews? What do you think's wrong with them?
It's very, unless you have, so I guess for smaller companies, it may be easier to manage, right? So if you're a manager that has team of maybe five people, then you might be doing this well or decently in terms of being able to provide feedback to all the people. But when your teams get, you know, beyond 10, 15, 20, I think the managers struggle to figure out how to really reach all of those people in an individual way and also a collective way. The reality is people thrive on real-time feedback, and increasingly so. We're moving into a time where we are becoming an on-demand generation, right? If we want a certain kind of food, we can hit up DoorDash. If I want my groceries delivered to me today, 2 hours from now, I can go on Instagram and have that happen. I think sometimes we don't take things higher level in HR to understand how the shifts in the market and shifts in economy impact what we do. So that mentality, that on-demand mentality also comes into the workforce. And so if I'm spending, you know, a decent amount of time, my time, away from family, away from things I love, understanding that work is a means to an end for many people, and I am behind and I can't get from you at least within, you know, a monthly window. Let's not say maybe not every week, but at least within a month window, a pulse on how it is I'm doing, or a pulse on the fact that you actually see what I'm doing, and that you actually have enough gumption to let me know if I'm not on the right track so that we can fix it before we get to the whole end of the year, whereby you're going to turn around and tell me that I'm absolutely a horrible employee and that I screwed the project up left and right and that I should have known better and that you're going to give me this one ranking and I'm also going to get 0% in merit increase. Right? So it's a much different thing when you when that conversation took place earlier in the year and it was like, hey, Janine, here's where we really need to be. Can we get and we have that discussion, and I actually execute exactly what you want, and we reach the end of the year, and I get my merit increase, and I get a higher rating, and it's a win-win for everybody.
So, and I love your point there, because there is, you know, there's this behind-the-curtain thing that consistently comes into theme around HR, right? Not knowing what's in this process, right? So being more transparent. But I also agree with you. I mean, I think what I've seen in my career is that when you run these evaluations on a yearly basis, the data that managers look at is no greater than 30 days from the evaluation date. Like it doesn't, there's no way, and only the good managers would have a record of your performance over a 12-month period. But I think even like if you killed it in the first half of the year and you kind of fell off in the second half of the year, they're going to remember the second half of the year and not the first half and not really average it out at all.
Right.
Right. And so it's just completely flawed in that manner. And then the ranking system is so arbitrary. Like, you know, everyone likes this ranking system because it's numbers and you can do averages and means and all that stuff. But it's still like a one versus a two versus a three. You know, it's just so arbitrary. In the entire thing. So I love that from an employee point of view, because I agree. I love your reference on, especially as I'm thinking about, and I'm actually in the middle of writing a book around how to prepare for Gen Z, because I think we were a little surprised with millennials. So I want to kind of get ahead of the curve on the Gen Z. These are the kids. I have kids at home that are part of this generation that were born on the iPhone. That you're right. They order something and Amazon delivers it, DoorDash, whatever it is. Like the ability to wait a year for feedback on your career is just it's unacceptable at that point. So what are some of the things, like, do you, and of course you don't have to name names, but the clients that you're working with, are you seeing a lot of clients that are in this, you know, yearly review process, and are you moving them to more, like, what, I guess the question is, what are you moving them to if you're saying don't do this, do that?
Yeah, so I find most people or most companies are still steeped in the traditional process. The whole crux of my company is really to get way beyond that, because I've never loved the process. But really what we're moving towards, I mean, it isn't rocket science. It's really centered around this idea that we're going to have more frequent and real-time conversations. And it's like when you're doing that and when you can employ that on whatever cadence. I encourage them to do this however it makes sense for the business, because if you're really busy as a manager, you're always in meetings of that nature, it gets pretty difficult when you start having, you know, several different teams and indirect reports and all these different things to manage this on a week-to-week basis. But figure it out. And what ends up happening is by having these conversations more regularly, setting up like bi-weekly meetings, and then maybe monthly team meetings, just kind of discuss the milestones and the things that the initiatives that are on the table. By the time you get to the end of the year, everyone knows where they stand. Everyone, right? There's no surprises. There's no walking into that evaluation meeting and having to, you know, hear something that you haven't heard before. In fact, in a lot of cases, there's not really a meeting. It's more or less like, hey, we've been having these discussions. Here's what your rating was. Have a look at what I've said. Let me know if you feel like anything is off and we can have a discussion about that. If all else is fine, then this is how we're proceeding and everybody's happy. So we cut out all of this, you know, several weeks of sitting behind closed doors and going through this in-depth evaluation process that no one loves, chalk it up to something that is much more real time and much more tangible in the moment. The whole point is to make sure that people's performance are up to snuff so that there's productivity. And with productivity, we make money. That's all that really matters. And so we have to be able, the business is having to make decisions, decisive decisions about, you know, anything and everything in business. And so we need to be able to have those conversations with our people as they're making mistakes or as they're going in a certain direction and we need them to go in another, so that they can do the right thing and actually allow them to do the right thing rather than use it as a punitive process to basically say, hey, you suck as a person. Because that's basically what has been happening for like the past 20, 30 years.
Yeah, that talking about radical candor, right? You suck as a person.
whether or not earlier. The manager says it or not, that is how it's heard by and ingested by an employee. It's like you suck as a person because you haven't been able to show up in this company and do what we weren't able to really communicate to you.
So one of the things, so we have people on the line likely that are sitting here going, great, this is all high level. I agree. I don't like it. Can you talk about some of the practical ways to move from, this old world into this newer world? Like what are, you know, if you were to, you know, publish the, you know, 5 to 7 steps to go from yearly to more frequent conversations, what would you advise folks to do? What's step one?
Meet with your people individually, set some realistic goals based on the quarters or whatever the business, you know, calendar looks like, including, you know, milestones. Don't pile too many of those milestones upon them, but really have an open discussion about, hey, the things as a department we're responsible for. These are the things I'd like for you to handle. How comfortable do you feel handling those things? What kind of support do you think you will need to be able to execute these things? And, you know, kind of have this back and forth, not this hierarchical thing of you do this or else, but more or less like this is what we're charging you with. This is going to be your responsibility and we're going to need it done by these dates. And if they can be met by these dates, here's how we want to be able to communicate with you and collaborate with you in order to make sure that we're not too off the mark with these things. And then kind of set up a schedule that works for both people to kind of get ahead of those milestones and have some regular communication. It can be over email. It doesn't always have to be in person. Whatever that is, make sure that you're having open lines of communication and your people feel like they can come to you. But I've found that being very clear about what the goals are and what those objectives are and having some check-in points along the way, as well as letting them know like, hey, there's room for you to even tweak this schedule or for you to tell us the ways in which this can go wrong so that we can have a bigger conversation about how this gets accomplished. I feel like then we're coming to the table and we're being much more collaborative. And you're giving, you're also giving some power back to the employee to really own the things that you're wanting them to own. It's one thing to give somebody a job description and say, this is what you're tasked with, this is what your job and your role is. And it's a whole nother thing when you elevate them to a place where they're actively responsible for a few things within the organization and they understand what the implications of their work are, either the bottom line or for the initiative, whatever that is, and that the lines of communication are open. Those sorts of things tend to empower people rather than say, you know, you need to improve in this way, that way, that way. And then if it doesn't happen to that person's liking, again, you suck as a person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So what? So you're suggesting, I mean, if I were to synthesize it, more frequent conversations, just start doing it. But if I'm the head of HR, am I getting rid of this annual performance and ranking process at the same time? Like, what are the, is it kind of just start with conversations first and then evolve into something that maybe deletes that part of the process? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I mean, I think there needs to be, you know, for the I do a lot of workforce planning from the standpoint of that and businesses being in a position to know, one, who they have and how they kind of utilize them going forward or look at things like succession plan. I think that there's something to having something formal within your system, your HRIS or whatever that is, regarding your employees' performance so that there's some official record. But it doesn't have to entail the process we've known. I think you can start having these conversations. Many of the systems now have it where you can very easily set up a few milestones against a person's profile within the system and, you know, have dates attached to that. And you can actually, the manager can go in and actually note, you know, how the person executed and tick it off. And there's that two-way conversation. So I think it's reimagining it. I don't know that we need to continue doing what we were doing, and I don't necessarily know that it needs to be obliterated to where we're not pissing something against the employee, because, again, you're going to find yourself at a deficit when the company is expanding and you need to know your people and what they're doing. What is that record? What do you go back to if you don't know what they've done?
That's a really good point, and not to put you on the spot on this, and we're not in the business of promoting any HR tech companies, at least not yet. although we would do that via advertising. What are there any systems that come to mind when that do this well? Because that's the other part of this, is that many of the HR tech systems that are out there don't do any of this really well. Have you used any systems or any recommendations for folks of systems?
So I do. There's a system. It's not U.S.-based. It's called Materia HR. They're one of the ones that I've liked quite a bit in terms of just the seamlessness and the focus on career profiles and things of that nature. There's another one called Lanteria. It's Lanteria, LanteriaHR. Trackstar HR is another one I've seen recently that I liked very much. Its module and how it tied back into succession. So those are two that I would throw out there as not being, you know, the heavy hitters market that you probably would never hear about, but I've had an opportunity to interact with the systems and spoken with the founders of each, and I like how it works.
Great. And nothing on them, but I think, you know, maybe a future show is calling bullshit on HR system company names or HR tech company names. They literally are the worst.
It needs to be done.
Yeah.
It needs exactly. No, it really does. I mean, this is the other side of the house that I deal with. And I get so very frustrated when, you know, we go to a lot of events, you and I both, and it's like the same players are always put out in the front. under, you know, after a while, you know why. It's because of their market presence. But it does a disservice to those that are in a position to buy and purchase, because they're going to pay towards those vendors. And then they find out way down the pike, after throwing away a lot of money, that it's not able to do the things that they want them to do.
Common, and that's a great idea. The HR tech, calling bullshit on HR tech is a great idea. I'm going to hold on to that one. Anybody that knows, I mean, of course, Janine would be a great guest, but anyone that knows someone who wants to call BS on HR systems, I'm happy to have them on. So one of the things, and we have a little less than 5 minutes left in the show, one of the things that's very popular these days, and I'd love your thoughts on it, and it's driven through the Neuroscience Institute, is this idea of growth conversations. And you mentioned a lot about milestones and goals. What are your thoughts around, it's a very hot topic. It's something that I've looked into, and I think, you know, we've kind of structured our stuff here at Suzy a bit around the growth conversation, but I'd love your honest feedback. What have you seen in terms of growth conversations, and what are your thoughts on that methodology?
I'm actually not familiar with the concept. So do tell me a little bit about what you mean by like growth conversation.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's this idea that you should be having conversations less about performance in the past and more about where that person wants to go, right? Where that, and it's kind of like, you know, it's probably like all things in HR, you know, it is put into the sausage maker and then repackaged as something else. But the idea is like, you know, career goals, right? So where do you want to be? Like, so in some cases, and if you subscribe to the radical candor methodology, the idea is that there, you know, people have, you know, a growth trajectory, but they also have performance. But there are also folks that don't necessarily want to be managers. You know, this happens a lot in the engineering space, which is like, I'm a really awesome coder. I don't necessarily want to be a VP of engineering, and I just want to continue to code really cool shit and do really cool shit. So the idea of growth conversations is, instead of looking at the past, we're looking at the future. What are your thoughts, at least on that?
It makes sense. The past doesn't exist. No more than the future exists. Right? I mean, all we have is the present, not to be super existential.
Tweet that out, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's a tweet.
So, in other words, it never made a lot of sense to be looking at the past. But, you know, it's good for seeing what trends may come about. But I think it's a great thing, largely because it centers around what the person wants versus what the company wants. We've spent a lot of years and days really being very employer-centric around how things have to happen in the world of work. And the employee, as much as we say that, you know, people are our assets and people first and all this other nonsense, that really hasn't been the practice. It's been, you're supposed to be very grateful for this position that we're offering you and this paycheck that we're dangling in front of your face and these benefits. Like, be thankful, grovel at our feet. And I think what a lot of organizations are coming around to is that model doesn't work. These are whole human beings with hopes, dreams, and aspirations. And no, as an organization, it's not your job to make all their hopes, dreams, and aspirations come to fruition. But you can get darn well close by ensuring at a minimum that they are doing the kind of work that's meaningful for them, that's purposeful for them, and aligning some of what the organization has to offer, you know, with that. And if there isn't, and to the other end of that, if there isn't alignment in that way, then we can have a very adult and honest conversation about how that's not happening and bid each other adieu so that you can move on. You can move on without me being angry about it, to greener pastures where you can thrive.
Yeah.
So that I can attract somebody who is better aligned for the company. So I think these growth conversations, now that I understand what you mean, are great things for that purpose, is really making this a much more adult and palatable process for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit it right on the head. I mean, what you just described is growth conversation. So it's you absolutely knew about it, just not in the context of that semantic, but So, you know, one of the things that you know, we're butting up to the end of the show. So two questions. First one is, you talk a lot about, you know, bringing a human touch to business and having business savvy. Can you maybe depart with one piece of advice on how HR can do that around performance evaluations and reviews? I know you talked a lot about conversations, but maybe something a little bit more around the human touch piece that you're so you're famous for, literally.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, in terms of just, I think just realize that every day you're managing a human being just like you, like, right? That this person has a family, perhaps has dreams, has a reason, a why for why they enter doors every day. And so instead of really looking to use this process to, you know, bring them down, weed them out, or whatever the case is, it really should be a process that empowers. It should be a process where they walk away feeling like they know themselves better, that they know what's possible, and that they know how they can actually have a meaningful contribution within the company. And I think if you do that every single time with each of your employees, you'll never go wrong with performance reviews of any kind.
Awesome. I love it. And so I'm a business owner and I love what you're talking about, or I'm a head of HR and I'm like, I want Janine in my office to help me do this tomorrow. How are people finding you? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
My website, www.talentthinkinnovation.com. You can always reach me there. Always a lot of great information on my blog, The Aristocracy of HR. I can be reached that way, and I am Zarina of HR all across social media and very accessible. So if you reach out to me,
awesome.
I will absolutely get back to you.
And by the way, she does. That's how she and I became friends. And by the way, you should be following the Zarina of HR. Always great stuff and videos and different points of information and different pieces of advice that are incredibly valuable and more importantly are practical and very very much operational. So very cool. Janine, it was a pleasure to have you back on the New York HR show. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. We'll talk to
you soon.
Yes. Take care.
Bye-bye.